biblical painting, but I just picture all these people when the gates open wide to come into the throne room in the presence of Jesus, how that would be laid out for us, like how amazing that would be. You know what I mean? Just to be in that kind of worship. Take your Bibles, go to Revelation 13. Revelation 13. Have you ever swam against a current? Have you ever been any kind of, there's I think two times in my life that I've swam against currents that I failed to swim against, really. Not to the point of drowning, but almost, right? If I go back in my life and think about the multiple times that I probably should have died, but I didn't, these are probably two of them. My friend's birthday fell in the late part of November. He lived on the Ocoee River, on the lower end of the Ocoee River, and he had a dock out that ran to the river, and the river was up. And he said, "I'll dare anybody to jump out in the water and then swim back to the dock." And I thought, "Man," he goes, "I'll bet anybody $20 they won't jump in the water and swim back to the dock." And I said, "Well, I need $20." So I ran off and jumped in the river. And the water was like almost below freezing, and the current was so strong that I didn't know it. At the top, it looked like as smooth as a pond, but underneath it was a strong current. But when my body hit the water, my body went into shock, and my arms felt like they weighed like 80 pounds apiece. And I was doing it. I made it because when I went into the current started pushing me to the shore. On this side, if it had pushed me out, I'd have never made it. But I ended up hitting a big rock, and that hurt too. But I didn't let them see that. And then I crawled up on the bank. And the first thing I said when I got to the bank was, "Where's my $20? But I knew, and God knew, apparently, how close it was to, like, I can't physically do this, right? Years later, we were at the Ocoee River. Once again, the Ocoee River was a dangerous place for me, apparently. That's where I was born and raised. So I stayed on that river a lot, so I should have been dead a bunch. But me and my buddy, we all went up there, went swimming. We jumped in right below the dam to jump in and get, you know, body surf down. Well, we all jumped in. His dog jumped in with him. His dog got tired of swimming about 2 minutes in and thought I was a place to stand on. And the dog weighed about 100 pounds. So the dog was on top of my head, doing this number, and man, I was like, I don't want to kill your dog, but I don't want to die either, you know what I mean? And the reason I bring those two illustrations up is tonight, as I'm reading you this, this is the current situation in a church in America today, in a church in the world today. To be an effective church in the world today, we are going to have to swim against a current that is so strong and so powerful that it will seem like at times that we can't. Okay? It will seem like at times that we can't, but we have to. There's going to be times we're going to have to. I think the Bible says the renewing of your mind. I used to get that all the time. The renewing is like renewing of your relationship with a gym or anywhere. You got to renew your contract. Sometimes you got to remake up your mind. I got to remake up my mind to do this, right? Sometimes as a church, we're going to remake up our mind that we're not going to fall into status quos and be pushed down the current and just settle. We're going to have to really turn into God. Y'all ready? Let's just jump in a word. I gave you enough illustration there and enough time to kind of find where we should be. It's Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. And under the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, I hear pages turning. I hope I didn't mess it up too bad. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. I might have said 2. Did I? Okay, sorry. You know how messed up I am. I can be sometimes. Revelation chapter 3, verse 14. All right. All hearts, all minds clear, and everybody's got over me saying the wrong chapter and verse. And unto the angel of the church at Laodicea. Do y'all see that? Laodicea. Write these things, saith the Amen. Let me slow down right there. Laodicea is a church in Asia Minor. There are seven churches there that wrote these books to. They were actual churches, but these are actual church ages, okay? There's seven churches, seven church ages. We are living slap in the middle of the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age will be described here in a moment, but you're saying, well, why do we have to live in the Laodicean church age? Why is the things are they the way they are right now? If they were any different, Jesus could not come back, okay? Jesus has to come back when the church is almost seemingly at its least effective. Does that make sense? God can't come back in the middle of a revival. He can't come back and everybody's getting saved, everybody's getting delivered, everybody's on fire, people are dying for the church, people are being martyred, people being excited about serving God. There are pockets and there are remnants. You might want to write that word down. I might use it a few times tonight. Remnants. I want to be a remnant church. I want to be a remnant church. That means we are not in the whole group. We are a remnant. We are part of the church of Smyrna. We are part of those churches at Philadelphia. We don't care what we look like on the outside. We care what we have on the inside. We don't care what people say about us, criticize us. I don't care if we're one in a million. I don't care if we're one in a thousand. I don't care if we're one in 10,000. I don't care if nobody's doing it like that. Well, if you want to do it like everybody else, go join everybody else. Praise God. I don't have a problem with that. Go to First Baptist, Second Baptist, Third Baptist, Fourth Baptist, Non-Baptist, Baptist, whatever you want to do. Go do it. But praise God. If God's planted us here, put our roots down here on Flat Top Mountain, then guess what? He wants us to serve right here. We are the church here. So guess what? Let's act like it. When somebody goes down in the valleys and says, man, they're radical up there. They're crazy up there. They worship God. They love this. They sing this. They praise that. They do this. Say, amen, that's true. And the other thing we're going to be able to say about us is we're real and we'll accept anybody. You say, well, why don't we accept anybody? Because heaven will accept anybody. Amen? We're not going to condone everything. We're not going to say your sin's okay. We're not going to pamper you. We're not going to change the message. We're not going to conform and contort to make you welcome. We're going to share Jesus Christ. But if you want to hang in here with us, jump in, hang on. We're going to ride for a while until Jesus comes back. Amen? And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen. Underline that in your Bible. The Amen. Let it be. I don't like false amens, but I like this one. In the very beginning of the chapter of Revelation, there are several names for Jesus, and they call him there the Amen. Golly, if y'all don't... Let it be. One day, the Amen's coming. God, I could just go home on that. You know when you hear something, I'm being honest with you, when you hear something so good in church that you can't help yourself and you go, amen, you know? And you don't even have to speak. What you're saying in your spirit is, let that happen. You know, let that happen. One day, the Amen is going to come. The let it happen is going to come. Whew. And our spirits will cry, Amen. There is the Amen of all. That is the ending. There is the truth, Amen. There is the salvation, Amen. There is the healing, Amen. There is our Savior, Amen. I mean, my God, Amen. When I read that, my spirit leaped into that word. If you don't, there's a few things that I'm not a big music. I love music, and I like to listen to music, but I'm not a big singer, okay? And I'm not a person who rides around and sings all the time. I will sing with songs that I like. I don't remember half the words. I just sing whatever. I fill in blanks. It's entertaining, though, ain't it, Melissa? But anyway, if you ever get me on a song that's got a bunch of names for Jesus in it, you shouldn't ride with me. I will embarrass you. I will cry. I will worship. I might even ask you to pull over and let me take a lap. And in that lap, I might just fall out and just sit on the side of the road and cry a little bit, because that's good stuff. Amen? I used to listen to this song. I can't remember the Eddie James, is that it? Whew. There's a song by Eddie James. Eddie James. And he sings just the names of God. And it is just like, dude, I told y'all about this. I've been in an old car driving to work, man, and man, out the red light, can't even see the red light. Can't even tell what color the light is. I'm crying so bad. Look over and people are like, he must have lost him. I didn't lose nobody. I got found. Y'all good? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. Woo! The faithful and the true witness. He came here and he was faithful and he was true. He was a witness of God. And no matter what, he was faithful and true. You will find God faithful and you will find him true. Man, I don't need anybody else to be faithful but God. Amen? He has given me a promise and I can stand firmly on that promise until eternity comes. And he is true. Every one of his words are true. Amen? Goodness gracious. The beginning of the creation of God. We sit there and go, what are you talking about? You know what? John, this is John the Revelator. If you go all the way back to the first, the book of John in the Gospels, he would say, in the beginning was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Amen? When God was making all the heavens and the earth, one part of the Godhead is Jesus, the expressed image of God, he's there. Amen? The Holy Spirit, he's there. Guess what? They're a triune God. Somebody say, explain that. Can't. Just know it's true. Amen? But if you see God in a human form, it's Jesus, and he's always been. Abraham said it best. When I seen him in my day, wait a minute, how did Abraham see him, right? He said, well, it was this priest named Melchizedek who showed up. He was out without beginning, without end. He had no mother, no father. He was the Prince of Peace. And I just happened to give him tenth of everything I had. Never mind. You'll figure it out. One of these days it'll hit you right in front of the face. He was standing before the glory of Jesus and went, you seem like God. But never mind. Don't y'all ever get excited just reading the names of God? I know we're getting somewhere. Verse 15, I know thy works. You might want to write that down. He knows what you're doing. He knows how much time you have in a day. He knows what you're doing with your life. He knows where you're going and how you're getting there. Praise God. Write that down. I know thy works. That's scary. If God knows you, knows your time, listen to this. I do it all the time. This happens to me on a regular basis. I don't even know how it happens. I don't do it on purpose. Thank goodness, I guess. But every once in a while on my iPhone, there's this deal comes up and it shows me my screen time. It just happens to show. I don't know how it does it, but it's just like right there, and I could see over 3 hours and 22 minutes. Bring your phone up here. Let's figure out how to get that thing open. I want to see yours. Some of y'all are laughing my 3 hours. I want to see some of y'all's hours. But you know, when we say we ain't got time to read, we ain't got time to pray, we ain't got time. Huh? I know thy works. Let's get into this word. Let's break it apart. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou art cold or hot. Ain't that amazing? I'm going to preach this two different ways. Some people could preach it the logical way, the way it is, the was in Laodicea, and I'm going to preach it kind of the way it just makes sense to preach. We get upset if somebody's real cold on God, and we get real excited if somebody's real hot on God. But you know what God said? I hate people that are right in the middle of the road, and that's probably the majority of everybody. That's the biggest current you're going to fight in the church, in the world today, is getting so mediocre and cold on God. You're neither hot nor cold. Amen? That's one way to preach that, and that's absolutely, I think that's the best way, because that's the hardest thing to fight against, because the devil will tell you, he will get in your spirit, that it's okay for you to be just like everybody else. Who he wants you to compare yourself to is everybody else in the church or everybody else in the church community, and he does not want you to compare yourself to who you're supposed to be comparing yourself to, and that's Jesus. You're supposed to look to the author and the finisher of your faith. You're supposed to take your orders from him. The greatest order that was ever given is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and create disciples. Amen? That is the work of the kingdom. I know your works. You're neither cold or hot. There's another looking at this. Laodicea, it was a place, it was a crazy place. They had invented an eye salve, and they also had this black, the they had got these material, like probably from sheep, but it was a black material. And guess what? They were so rich. But the one thing they didn't have the capacity to get their own water, so they pumped all their water to them. They pumped it from two locations. One place they pumped hot water that had minerals in it, and another place they pumped it in was cold water for refreshment. One was for healing, and one was for refreshment. But sometimes the thing would get messed up, and the hot water would get there, and it would be just mild. And then sometimes the cold water would come down, and it would just be mild. So it was neither good for healing nor refreshment. That's us sometimes. We're not good for healing, and we're not good for refreshment. We're just sitting in the room like everybody else is. We're supposed to be there to heal and help, or both. Amen? Or both. Some of them, we just got to make up our mind. Because I'm from a different church era. I'm from a different thinking and line. Some people come to the church and they'll say, "Oh, so-and-so, I just don't know about him. He's so cold. I know he's got a rough life. He's doing things out there. She's doing things out there. They're out there." As long as they're setting themselves in the building, as long as they're surrounding themselves around with believers, I really don't care. I don't. I do care, but what I don't, I want them to keep coming back because I know how God is, because God can change the water. Amen? And the other one we don't have to speak about. The other one we don't have to speak about. If you're on fire, you're on fire. Amen? And I'm not talking about false fire. I'm not talking about fire that, I'm talking about fire that you just keep going for God no matter what. No matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, you're just going to keep going with God. You know, my favorite Old Testament book, my favorite book to read in the Bible, every time the year rolls around to read it, I love reading the book of Ruth. Every single year when it comes, I see Judges, I'm like, "Oh, there's Judges, I know what's next." I know I'm a Bible nerd like that, but one thing I love about Ruth is when she made up her mind to go after God, there wasn't nothing changing her mind. All the facts in the world stood right in front of her. Every normal fact. Don't go up to Bethlehem. There is no husband for you. You will live in abject poverty. There's nothing. There's no future promise to you. She looked at it and went, "I'd rather have God and nothing than Moab and everything." Golly bum. Wouldn't that be good if we could get that attitude? I'd rather have God and nothing than this world and everything. She said, I would doubt whether cold or hot. I want you. Be one or the other. Get out of the middle. Verse 16. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Man, I've read that so many times, and you just can't. There's no other adjective you can add to it. Jesus is probably one of the most kindest, sweetest, loving people of the Bible when you read of his dealings with people. But at the end, when you see in Revelation, when he says, when you get right down to it, if you're going to be lukewarm, you make me sick. Man, there's a lot of things I want to make Jesus. I'm mad, angry, frustrated. I know, happy, excited, proud, whatever it is. But the last thing I want to be able to do is somebody walk up and go, "Man, you make me sick. Jesus, you make me sick. I saved you by my grace, and you won't even do anything. I prompt and prompt and prompt and push and put. I set things out for you." I've noticed in my life God has set some things out so easy. I didn't even have to do. All I had to do was say, "Jesus." All I had to do was say, "I'm here to help." God was like, "Here it is." And sometimes I failed at that. I failed at that a ton of times. Amen. I've failed at that so many times I'd like to take it all back and do it over again. What's this right here? Verse 17. "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And thou knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." This was one of the richest. They got destroyed by a storm, like a hurricane, and Rome came down to rebuild and help them out. They sent all the money back and said, "We can take care of ourselves. We are fine." We have invented an eye salve that almost cured blindness. We have this material that we sell all around the world that we cover ourselves with. We are rich and we are fine. About every church in America today, if you'll go into it, man, big new building, nice floor, nice hair, nice air, nice TV, nice stuff. Everybody doing good. We're fine. We don't need your help. I'm not knocking. Man, we're building the brand new. We're building the church. You're going to sit here and go, man, are you railing on churches that are being built? That is not the case. What the case is when you build stuff and you think you're rich and you're special by the things you have instead of having Jesus in them. There's a big difference. There's a big difference in having stuff than having Jesus. Now, I want my stuff, but if Jesus ain't in it, we can burn the stuff. I still want Jesus. And I could just imagine. This church is totally different. If you get into this scripture and really study it out, go and look at the church in Smyrna. We might do a study on that the next time I'm here on a Wednesday night. Smyrna, this is what it kind of looked like. If you went by the church that was at Smyrna, you would go, what's that building? Looks like kind of like a shed or a lean-to or something. That's the church at Smyrna. Well, they ain't got nothing. They're poor. Oh, yeah. But in the scriptures, when it talks about all seven of the churches, when it got down to the point where it says, I have somewhat against you, when it got down to that point, God said, there's nothing there. God. God help us. God looked at him and said, you ain't got nothing in this world. You banked everything in glory. When he looked at them and done the survey, when he ran all their stuff as a church and a ministry, he looked at them and went, I don't have anything against you. You know what those people were willing to do when it came right down to it? The people at Smyrna, that's the biggest amount of people you'll see in the book of Acts of Martyrs. They were willing to die during Nero killed more of the people of this church at Smyrna than any other time. Them in Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the second least I have this against you church. They didn't have much in this world, but my God, wouldn't it be awesome to be able to stand before God and them say, man, y'all did it. You know, that's really what all I care about right now as far as being a minister in the gospel. When I get, I want God to say, man, you used your time. You did it. You used your time. You didn't just waste it. I want him to be, man, you've done something with your life. You've done something with your ministry. That's what I want. I don't care. I don't care if they move this. It don't even matter. You spent your time here. I've got people. I meet people on the time when I go. Where you're at? Why on the mount? Why way up there? That's where God wanted me right now. That's the season. That's what He wants me to do. Praise God! I'm so excited. Every single time we get to preach this word, I get excited. Every time. There's not been one time in the whole 17, 18 years that I preach this, not one time, not one event, not one place that I've walked into and I went, man, I'm just going, I don't even feel like, man, I love this stuff. This is so fun. It's so amazing to pull this apart. You're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor. They were rich. He said, you're blind. They had an eye salve that almost cured blindness. Can't see. And you're naked. God's describing the church. We say we're rich, we're broke spiritually. We say you got a vision, can't see Jesus. Naked, got no righteousness. We got all of our covering and none of His. Amen? I heard an old preacher preach this like 10 years ago, and I'd never preached it, so I held on to it. I didn't even know what he meant. When he was preaching, I didn't know what he meant, but now, how many of years later I get it. As many, verse 19. Why would he say this to anybody, right? No, go verse 18. Sorry, we almost skipped the main verse. I counsel thee. Can we take some counseling from Jesus? Look at your Bible. It's red letter. This ain't me talking. It's him. I counsel thee to buy me gold tried in the fire. He said, go get a hold of me. I was tried in the fire. That's what's priceless. That thou mayest be rich. The thing that was tried through the fire of the cross and the death, burial, and resurrection, that's Jesus, tried him. Amen. That'll make you rich in heaven. White raiment. I'll take that black garment that you're covered with that's bringing you worldly fame and worldly fashion. I'll give you a righteous garment to cover yourself with. Right? And that the shame of the anointed... And the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. He goes, and I will open up your eyes where you can see. I will give you the eye salve to open up your eyes. Man, this is good to me. As many as I love, verse 19, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Even the church at Laodicea has the opportunity always to reset. Repent. If you find yourself thinking more about who we are than less about who he is, you got to reset your mindset and go, look, I'm going against the current. I've been riding with the current. I've been riding down this lazy river of Christianity, waiting for God just to come back and not worry about lost souls, people out of the community, all that, people out in the world. I'm just leaning back. No, what we got to do is repent, turn back into the current, and fight against everything in the world to share the gospel. It's hard. It ain't easy. And if you do it, the devil's going to smack you. He is going to smack you. He's going to hit you so hard. We often talk about the devil did this. I hate to tell you this, usually doesn't get in your hair dryer. He doesn't get in the sound system very much. He doesn't care about putting a little obstacle. What he does do is he'll make you hate your wife. He'll make you hate your husband. He'll make you hate your kids will hate you. He will have you screaming, hollering, fussing, fighting at each other. He will make you disrespect. He will make you try to correct and get on to the people that are the people that you need and love the most. Let me say it to everybody so that you need and love the most. Amen? And you won't even know why. You'll be sitting there going, why am I doing this? Why am I saying these things? Why am I saying this? And why are they saying this? And the whole reason is because the devil's sitting there going, that's an attack on you. That's what I want, because if you're doing that right there, I don't have to worry about you. Because y'all spend the rest of this month focusing on this. What you need to do is pray together, pray about it, and repeat whatever you was doing. I'm serious. Go figure out what it was. Was it this? Do it. Was it that? Do that. Because whatever it was effective, and the enemy lifted his head and showed himself to you, and you should say, that's what was effective. If it's effective, we're going to do it. Amen. When I preach this kind of stuff, I say it up here, and it's easy to say. Boy, it is. It is easy. But man, down here, at the house, it is not. And man, it's not as easy to live that. Because when you make up your mind to serve God and do it, man, he will wear you down. The devil will. For real. But you've got to have a wife, and you've got to have a husband, and you've got to have some kids, and you've got to have a church who will say, I will lean in with you. I will lean in with you. I will pray with you. I will love you despite of you. I will give you grace. I will give you mercy. I will give you love. Amen? I'm telling you, I've said it. Me and her, we've had to do this the last 3 weeks. I've said it up here. Man, the devil's going to wear me out on this. The devil's going to wear me out on this. And it's easy to say up here. Goodness gracious. Y'all want to get the verse that's most out of context here? This verse is took out of context so bad. This is that preacher. He preached it about, I don't know how many years ago. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in into him and I will sup with him and he with me. Do you know that's not talking about your soul and salvation? It's not. It's not. That's brutalized. It's okay if you want to use it in that kind of context, but it's not even close. Do you know where it's at, right? He's talking to a church. You know what he's saying? He's saying you're having church and you're having it without me. I'm standing on the outside of your church. And I want to come in. And you know what that's like? If we're in here having church and Jesus is on the outside, that's like a chicken running around with its head cut off. It's doing stuff, but it's dying. It's doing stuff. It's running around. It's making a show. You ever seen one do that? I've had the awesome pleasure of watching that. blood and guts guy here. I was poor. We were poor. My grandmother was poor. They lived in a section house. They had ring at old neck. Quack, quack, quack. Chop and watch it running. The kids are running around the yard. Look at that. There wasn't nothing. We loved it. But I see it. It's one of the funnest things to watch. But just, you know what? That's what it looks like in the church today to a lot of people. The church is in our headless. We're running around. We might even make a lot of noise. We might say a lot of stuff. Matter of fact, probably do say a lot of stuff. Ain't changing nothing. Ain't doing nothing. Praise God, you put the head on that thing. Fully operational body. We can't do anything without Christ as the head. We can't. If he stands on the outside of this thing and wants to come in, but we won't let him in because we want to do it our way. We want to sing our songs. We want to preach our message. We want to do our thing. Everything we need to do here needs to go through Jesus Christ first. Prayed about, thought about, considered about, and say, God, if you don't want me to do it, I'll plan it, I'll pay for it, I'll do it. And right at the last minute, if you say, whoa, God, we will stop. We will stop. And if we won't do that, then guess what? Do it. Just run around. Wonder why it's ineffective, why it won't change nobody's life, why it won't do this, why it won't do that. Because we know what? God is different. God changes lives. God will take something that doesn't make sense and make sense out of it. He'll take something look like a complete failure and make success out of it. Verse 21, y'all ready? You might want to go do this too. Every one of these churches having a reward for making it through. But guess what? That remnant people, the ones that make it through the whole, everybody in here is born again. If you're born again, raise your hand. Everybody in here, just raise your hand. Guess what you do when you get in heaven? You all get the seven rewards. You might want to go read those. They're pretty exciting and cool. Let's just read this one. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. We're going to sit down in a throne right next to Jesus because we overcame. Can I ask you a question? And not all spiritual, not all emotional. But would it be worth it if we swim up against the current and be hated on and be rejected by the world? If God says, hey, come up here and sit down for about 10,000 years next to me. I guarantee you everything you go through for the next maybe, 20 or 30 years. The minute he says, sit down right here in this seat, you would go, man, that was worth it. Amen. I love thinking about stuff like that, don't you? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you are born again, you raised your hand a second ago, you are part of the church. When we're not talking about Flat Top Church, you are a part of the church, but you are a part of God's church if you're born again. You will be held accountable for all the things that are written in this book to the church. So whether you do it here or you do it there, you have to make up your mind. If we're living in Laodicean times, we need to do one thing. We need to get our mind straight and say, guess what? I'm going to serve God no matter what. I'm going to get laser focused. My heart for this church, and this won't change anytime soon. If we're going to reach this community, they're going to know we love them and they're going to know Jesus loves them. I don't care what else we do. Because God put it on my heart, man. I went to God a couple of months ago, and I said these things, and one day I'll do it. He goes, why aren't you not doing them right here, right now? There are people in this community, probably some of your family, some of your friends, and absolutely your neighbors. If they go out into eternity, they'll go out into eternity separated from God. And Lord help them if they said the only church in that community was right there, and they didn't care. Start praying for that house right there, and this house right here. Everybody that's in it, pray for them. And pray for a burden. Pray for God to give you a burden for maybe more houses and more people. But we are going to continuously radiate out of this place to help this community. And if it pours off into the valley, if God one day grows us to the point that we got to reach down to Saudi Daisy, we're going to reach down to Dunlap, we will. I don't think small. I think big. God is trying to get in here and wreck what we do. And I want him to. Because the devil's wanting to get in here and wreck what we do too. And I don't want him to. Let's all pray. Let's stand and we'll pray.